establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Stand here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Avi Lipkin. Avi has been, well, I've known Avi, I guess, pretty close to 20 years. He, in years past, worked for intelligence agency, Israeli intelligence. He no longer does. But he comes to America, talks to Christian groups, and he's on a tour at the present time. So I asked him to come with us because right now, certainly, the Middle East is a seething cauldron, a serious question as to whether Israel is going to have to attack Syria because, of course, the very real threat of the chemical and biological weapons that Syria has falling into the hands of terrorists is something which would be devastating as far as Israel is concerned. We hear other stories that Assad, the president of Syria, said that if he is killed, he told his generals to go ahead and launch a missile attack on Israel. And I know the people in Israel are very, very concerned about this possibility. Certainly, of course, Iran has said that an attack on Syria would be an attack similar to an attack on Iran. Iran would respond. Certainly, the other questions about Israel perhaps launching a preemptive attack on Iran's nuclear facilities because of the danger of them developing nuclear weapons. We hear within the last few days of a massive underground explosion at a nuclear plant there where they're actually enriching uranium in Iran. All of these things are going on. Any one of them could precipitate a major military confrontation there, which one way or another would involve the United States. So without further ado, let's get the truth about what's really going on over there. Avi, thanks very much for being with us. We want your view on what's taking place.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Great to be back on your show and great to be back in the United States again. We are looking at the usual equation of in the Middle East, you learn to expect the unexpected. And one of the things that I've been remarking about over the last 2 years is that for the first 2 years of the Obama administration, all the U.S. State Department could do would be to attack Israel. Settlements, territories, Jerusalem, Palestinian state, Israel this, Israel that. Israel is always wrong. And one day, a fruit merchant is pushing his cart in Tunisia, and he gets arrested for not having a license, which he never, ever had. And basically, it was a shakedown by the policeman. And he's arrested, taken to jail. His fruit is confiscated. His scales are confiscated, the only real property he owned. And then a Muslim policewoman slaps him in the face, which is the ultimate offense to a Muslim man. And when he leaves the police station, he pours gasoline all over himself and self-immolates. And within minutes, Tunisia was up in flames. Everybody has cell phones in Tunisia. This country is under the influence of France, very westernized. And Twitter, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, all these things, they have them. And within minutes, all of Tunisia was up in flames. This was the beginning of the Arab Spring. And it had nothing to do with Israel. And then it spread to Gaddafi, to Libya. And then he was killed. And you have today a war. And I think the key word here is division. And one of the things I learned in Christian churches is that division is of Satan. And Islam is a divisive system. It's Muslim against Muslim. So in Libya, you don't have Shiites. It's Sunnis against Sunnis, tribes against tribes. And Libya today is still in the throes of war. It's not over. Of course, this spreads to Egypt. Again, this has nothing to do with Israel. This is purely an internal Islamic affair in Egypt. And there are no Shiites there either. This is a war between Sunnis. And, you know, if I had quoted the Bible 2 years ago, people would think I was crazy. You know, Isaiah 19, the first two verses talk about Egyptian fighting Egyptian, brother fighting brother, neighbor fighting neighbor, and city fighting city. Here you have a soccer game in Port Said in Egypt in which 70 people from Cairo are massacred, and now the government of Morsi has given orders to execute 30 soccer fans from Port Said in response. So now Port Said is up in flames, and if Morsi didn't do it, Cairo would be up in flames, and probably Port Said and Cairo will be up in flames. And there are fears. Al-Sisi, who is the new commander of the Egyptian army, says that Egypt is facing complete collapse and disintegration. And this is described very much in Isaiah 19 and in Ezekiel 29. And if I had said this 2 years ago, you would think I was crazy. Somewhere in the distant future. Well, the distant future is now. And so Egypt is collapsing. Yemen goes through a very violent civil war, and it's not over because Yemen is infiltrated by tens of thousands of Al-Qaeda Saudis who are now infiltrating back into Saudi. So Saudi may be facing an Arab Spring of its own. And, of course, we get to Syria, Iraq, and Iran, which is an entirely different story because now it's Shiites versus Sunnis. And, you know, I've spoken about this so many times, and I have a CD and a DVD I did on Shiites versus Sunnis. It's a 90-minute teaching. We don't have time for it today. But what we see here is we see the armies that hate Israel basically self-destructing. And, again, go back to the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which is a Jewish book, and I was taught this by Christians, where the armies of the enemies of Israel are surrounding Jerusalem to destroy it, and then one day, after the people have prayed and gotten on their faces before God, they open up the gates of the city, and the armies of Ammon and Moab and Seir completely wiped each other out. Everybody died. And so this is the way God reshuffles the deck. The U.S. State Department attacks Israel, attacks Israel, attacks Israel, and then God has the last word. So this is the situation from a biblical point of view of what's happening. Now, what your question was, I think, focuses on Assad and Syria and Iran. And, you know, it's very ironic that a country like Turkey, which is siding with the rebels, who are Sunnis, Turkey's a Sunni country, you know what they criticized Israel? They said Israel is an ally of Assad, that Israel is an ally of Hezbollah, and Israel is an ally of Iran because the Israelis are backing Assad out of fear of something much worse. In other words, the Sunni Al-Qaeda are much worse than the Hezbollah. And I don't say it's true because, you know, for us, both sides are equally guilty of hating Israel, wanting to destroy Israel. Neither of them are good. Neither of them are friends. And Israel is kind of like doing its best to stay out of the mess. It's a mess because there is no end in sight. The Sunnis will kill the Shiites. The Shiites will kill the Sunnis. This applies to Lebanon. It applies to Syria. It applies to Iraq. And it applies to Iran. And I don't want to say that the U.S. government is doing the right thing or not doing the right thing. There's not really very much the U.S. can do, or even Israel can do, because when people are crazy,
hold that
killing
thought.
Each other,
we'll be back here in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Well, our guest this morning, Avi Lipton, certainly, America, the Obama administration is indirectly involved. What's going on over there in Syria? We hear stories about special forces units over there helping to train some of the Syrian rebels, you know, and certainly a lot. This is not really a civil war. A lot of fighters are coming in from Libya. They're coming in from Saudi Arabia, all intent on overthrowing Assad. Of course, basically, this is a Shia-Sunni conflict because Assad tries more into the Shia group. And certainly, America certainly is not completely benign in this. And what part do you see America playing in this Syrian civil war? And how much danger is that the chemical and biological weapons will fall into the hands of the rebels or will be eventually launched at Israel? Is that a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. I'll start with your second point about the chemical weapons. There are two factors here, as I said at the first part of this program, where the Sunnis are fighting the Shiites and the Shiites are fighting the Sunnis, and both of them hate Israel. And both of them, if they get their hands on these biological and chemical weapons, they will use these weapons against Israel at some time. So, for example, The thing here is that the United States and Israel are very concerned about an Iranian nuclear bomb. So what do the Iranians do? And they've done this before. The Iranians use the Hezbollah as useful idiots to start a missile war against Israel to deflect attention away from Iran. And that happened, I think, in 2006, the second Lebanon war. The United Nations was on the verge of passing very strict sanctions against Iran. And a war breaks out where the Hezbollah kidnap, basically kill two Israeli soldiers. There are two fears now. One, of course, is that the Hezbollah will pick up biological and chemical weapons and put them on one of the 70,000 rockets that they have or fire them in artillery shells directly into Israel. The Hezbollah is receiving weaponries from Syria, from Russia, certain types of radar and certain types of missiles that can sink Israeli ships in Haifa port or target Israeli gas fields or oil fields out at sea. So, you know, Israel's very concerned about the threat of an Iranian-backed Hezbollah war. And indeed, if Bashar al-Assad gets killed, which could happen, there is this rumor that he has given orders to his general staff to launch an all-out missile attack on Israel. So, you know, Israel, like I said before, Israel is not interested at all in getting involved in what is happening in Syria. Israel's watching from a distance, does not want to get involved. Now, on the other hand, you have the enemies of Hezbollah, who are equally evil, if not worse, and that's the Al-Qaeda, who are Sunnis. Hezbollah is Shiite, Al-Qaeda is Sunni, and they're fighting each other. And if the Al-Qaeda get their hands on the biological and chemical weapons, there are two problems. One is, of course, attacking Israel with them. The other is attacking the United States of America. because once they get their hands on these biological and chemical weapons, they will smuggle them out of Syria and send them to the United States, probably first to Mexico, and then under the tunnels into the United States, and carry out biological and chemical attacks against the United States, against the American people. Because, you know, in case your listeners don't know this, the Muslims hate the American Christians just as much as they hate the Jews of Israel. And indeed, Christianity is seen merely as an extension of Judaism. And the Jews and the Christians, in the eyes of Islam, are one people. In the eyes of Islam, we are the people of the book, people of the Bible. And Jews are the Saturday people, Christians are the Sunday people. But they hate all of us equally. And so I don't see Hezbollah so much interested in attacking America. Hezbollah is merely fulfilling orders of the Iranians to attack Israel. But the Al-Qaeda have a global strategy. And their biological and chemical weapons can be used against Europe or can be used against American bases in Turkey or against the United States. Now, regarding your first question, which was the role of the United States, I don't know how much time we have before the break, but it's a little long, so I'll do my best. And if I get cut off, so we'll continue this after.
Well, we got a fair length of time. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I've been living in Israel 44 years. My wife is Egyptian. She's an Egyptian-born Jewish, and she monitors for Israeli intelligence, what they say in Arabic. And you want to know something? The Arabs and the Iranians, all these Muslims, they can't understand the stupidity of America. That's how they understand it. I don't say it's stupidity. I'm just saying it's the way Americans think, Westerners think a certain way, and Easterners in the Middle East think a completely different way. And let's go back. You had an ally. America had an ally called the Shah of Iran. He was an ally of Israel. He was an ally of America against the Soviets at the time of the Cold War. The Shah was a great man, and he modernized Iran. And Jimmy Carter comes in one day with his big new Berezinsky, and the two guys say, hey, you know what? This guy's a dictator. We Democrats don't like dictators. Let's get rid of him. And so who will they bring in his place? Ayatollah Khomeini, who's a religious man, a man of God. And after all, don't we all serve the same God? That's what Jimmy Carter said. George W. Bush said it. We all serve the same God, which is the most stupid ignorance and lie I've ever heard in my life. Allah is not God. Allah is Satan himself. And so to say that we serve the same God is crazy. So Jimmy Carter, a religious Christian man, is equal to Ayatollah Khomeini, a religious Muslim man, because we all serve the same God. I don't know if you understand the stupidity of the President of the United States and the people who make policy in Washington. So the United States, under Jimmy Carter, turns Iran into the worst enemy. It was ally number one. Now Iran is enemy number one. And the world is facing today a nuclear war with Iran because of Jimmy Carter. Okay, let's go to stage two. You have Saddam Hussein, who is a Sunni crazy guy. And so the United States does attacks the Iraqi forces in Kuwait in 1991. So purportedly, the United States is coming to liberate Kuwait, which is wonderful. But what happens here is that the United States mobilizes Hosni Mubarak of Egypt and a whole coalition of Arab armies to march together with the United States against Saddam Hussein, which is all fine and dandy. Then in 1991, also, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush tells the Shiites of Iraq to rise up in revolt against Saddam Hussein, and we Americans will support you, you know, so Saddam Hussein kills 100,000 Shiites. And America doesn't come to the aid of these 100,000 Shiites who got killed. America stands back under George Herbert Walker Bush. So guess what happens? The Shiites hate the guts of the United States for lying, you know, for inciting them to rebel against Saddam Hussein and then be killed by Saddam Hussein. Okay, so now the Shiites who are backed by Iran hate the United States. Okay, now what happens in 2003, United States invades Iraq, overthrows Saddam Hussein. And praise God, Saddam Hussein is God. He's a horrible man. Now, what does the United States do, in effect? America believes in democracy. So the United States gives the Iraqi people democracy. What's democracy in Iraq? Iraq is 60% Shiite, which means that the Sunnis now and the Kurds in the north are now disenfranchised because the power has been shifted over from the Sunnis of Saddam Hussein to the Shiites, who are 60%, and backed by whom? By Iran. And so the United States starts with destroying Iran as its ally number one. Then it destroys Iraq as its ally number two and hands it over basically on a silver platter to the Iranians because democracy, 60% of Iraq is Shiite. So the people in the Middle East are hitting their heads, slapping their heads and saying, these Americans are crazy. Everything the Americans touch, they destroy. So the United States then comes to Mubarak and says, okay, now we're going to work against Iran. So Mubarak says, you guys are crazy. We helped you in 1991. And what did you do? You handed the power over from the Sunnis to the Shiites. We Egyptians are Sunnis. Why should we work with the Americans if you're going to hand over the power to the Shiites? So anyway, so I don't know if this is true or not, but I could understand that it could be true. I was told that it was George W. Bush who brought about the fall of Mubarak. In other words, it happened during Obama, but the Arab Spring was something that was basically planned in Washington during George W.'s presidency. So why was Mubarak overthrown? Because he refused to march together with the United States against Iran. So now Obama is the president. Obama has sworn he will never go to war against another Muslim country, and Iran is a Muslim country. So, you know, Obama is hands-off against any military adventures in the Middle East. He's gotten the U.S. troops out of Iraq. He's working to get them out of Afghanistan. He does not want to get American troops into Iran. So the Egyptians now are saying, you know, America is a weak horse. We don't want to go with a weak horse. And we're going to develop friendly relations with Iran. The problem is you have this inherent instability in Egypt today, and the country's about to implode all on its own. So all these countries in the Middle East, they're going through terrible times, and they're killing each other and destroying each other. What they do know is the United States doesn't have its head screwed on properly. In other words, the United States turns Iran into an enemy. It was an ally. It turns into an enemy. Saddam Hussein was your ally. All of a sudden, Saddam Hussein is an enemy, and the country's handed over to Iran, basically. So what's happening now in Syria, let me tell you what's happening in Syria. The Sunnis are sending in terrorists, al-Qaeda terrorists, to kill the Shiites. And Iran is sending in Shiites to kill the Sunnis. And you know what? It's not like Judaism or Christianity where there's forgiveness or there's any chance of peace. This is never going to end. There's no forgiveness in Islam. And so what we're going to be seeing in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Iran is constant warfare, and everybody's going to be killing everybody, and there's no end in sight. So Israel's job is to try to stay out of it. The problem is the nuclear bomb of Iran. And that's something, you know, we really cannot know what is intended by the U.S. and Israel. The U.S. and Israel are marching in lockstep regarding Iran. So, and I don't know if this explosion in Fordow really happened or not. The U.S. government says they can't confirm it. I believe it did happen. But what we do know, and I'm sure, Dr. Stan, you know, is that there are special ops on the ground in Iran. There are British special ops, there are American special ops, there are Israeli special ops. They're going in from every direction into Iran. And basically, the war with Iran has already started, but it's not an official war. It's not a war where Israeli jets take off and bomb the nuclear facilities, which could happen. But until now, I think the war in Iran is a covert operation or a collection of operations. And that's one of the reasons why the Iranians are insisting that Hezbollah start launching missiles and biological and chemical weapons at Israel.
Well, I fear you're right. And, of course, Israel would be devastated with, a barrage of chemical and biological weapons. It would have totally disrupt the country. Now, basically, of course, what is Israel going to do? Israel cannot allow that to happen once those missiles are in the air. It's too late. Is Israel seriously considering that attacking Syria to prevent those chemical and biological weapons from falling into the hands of the terrorists? What are your thoughts?
Well, Israel is on very high alert at this time, especially in the north of Israel. And as you probably remember, in November, we had Operation Pillar of Defense with Gaza. And two of the five Iron Dome batteries have been shifted to the north to prepare for the eventuality of missiles indeed coming in from Lebanon and Syria. Like I said before, Israel, if Israel gets involved in Syria, hundreds of our boys are going to be killed. And in addition to which, we're going to be hit with this tremendous barrage from the north. So, like I said before, Israel's doing everything it can to avoid a war. But again, if Iran has given orders to Hezbollah to attack Israel, then it's going to happen.
So, what's the timetable? Do we have any idea? Are we talking about weeks, months, years?
You know what? Like I said before, it's very hard to know. And I think I said at the very beginning of the show, I said in the Middle East, we learn to expect the unexpected.
My fear is it could happen almost any day now.
Yes, it could be. And You know, again, I don't want to be too philosophical, but the last 2 years, the whole Middle East has been burning up in the civil war known as the Arab Spring, and Israel has been spared. Israel's economy until now is growing at the rate of 3% a year, and Israel is doing remarkably well economically, and there is internal peace in Israel. And I think one of the ironic things is that the Palestinians and the Israeli Arabs are not revolting in the streets. They're happy because under Jewish government, they're doing well. It's like the Muslims in America. Under Christian government, they're prospering. They're doing well. The moment they have Islamic government, everybody starves and the whole country becomes a desolation. And then they have to emigrate to the United States of America.
Well, we certainly, apparently things are pretty bad in Iran. My understanding is that the inflation rate over there has actually destroyed 50% of the value of the Iranian currency just in this last year. American sanctions on Iran have had a devastating effect. My fear is, of course, that Iran will do something irrational in response to this. And after all, we do have terrorists over there actually working in Iran, disrupting the country. We've hired a group of terrorists over there to we're at war with Iran. They just haven't told the American people that. We'll be back. If you have a question for Avi, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. I guess it's funny how they live. And Avi, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your ministry? And then if you're out there in the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, you have a question for Avi, our number is 877-254-7524.
877-254-7524. I've been talking to Avi for, well, many, many years, and his information is always fascinating, provocative, and certainly something that you should certainly listen to and certainly heed what he has to say. Go ahead, Avi. How can people get in touch with you and your ministry if they'd like to?
Yes, well, indeed, it's vicmord.com, www.vic, half of Victor, V-I-C-M-O-R-D, half of Mordecai. Of course, Victor Mordecai used to be my pen name. So vicmord.com is the website, and if people go to the website, they can send me an email through the website. And my telephone is 904-536-4664, 904-536-4664, if people want to get in touch with me.
All right, fine. Well, now, basically, Chris, we're looking at certainly a situation where Iran is under tremendous pressure. Their currency is collapsing. We have sanctions on them as far as banking is concerned. We're blocking their sale of oil. The economy in Iran is not good. Basically, as I mentioned, the value of their currency has lost 50% in the last year as a direct result of, course, what America has done. Now, certainly my impression, and certainly most people wouldn't agree with this, but my impression is that Iran probably already has at least some nuclear weapons. I was told back in 1993 by a fellow who was actually a consultant for the Republican congressman there that Iran had purchased a couple of small atom bombs, and certainly they've been trying to develop a nuclear weapon going back to the mid-1970s. I can't believe that they couldn't develop one or certainly purchase one from Pakistan. Is there a possible threat, do you think, of Iran, if things get worse, launching an EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack, on America? They certainly have the missiles that they could use that. They have intermediate missiles, and they could launch them from ships to attack America. If certainly things get bad over there, or America should take military action against Iran, could Iran retaliate on America with an EMP attack? Is that a possibility?
Of course it's a possibility. What I think we see happening here is Iran is attempting to do things, and I think because of superior intelligence from the West, these things are being thwarted. For example, I don't know if you remember about, 3-4 years ago, there was a reported incident of a ship carrying nuclear fissile material. There were two stories. One was that there was one boat from Iran carrying fissile material, and the Somali pirates hijacked the ship, brought it into Somalia, opened up a container, and all of them died from radiation poisoning. So this was a ship from Iran. I don't know what happened to the ship, but that's what happened to those people. Then there was another ship that was reportedly sunk in the Indian Ocean before it could reach the Suez Canal. But the idea was that that ship was basically going to explode itself in front of Tel Aviv. So, yeah, I mean, there are stories, and you don't know if it's true or not. For example, the explosion in Fardo, day before the Israeli elections, January 21st. Yesterday, the Secretary of State, Department of State, the spokeswoman said that they cannot confirm it and that maybe it didn't happen. So, you know, in this world of intelligence and counterintelligence, it's like Schultz, you know, and Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing, I see nothing, and these things are happening under everyone's eyes and noses. So you know, and I know, you're out in California in Monterey, you know the smuggling that's going on from Mexico into the U.S. It's not just drugs. It's human smuggling. It's terrorist smuggling. And maybe it's nuclear weapon smuggling. And so the big deal, if they want to send an EMP attack on some kind of a freighter, you don't think the U.S. Intelligence knows about these things? The problem, I think, is the one-on-one terrorist who can come across from Mexico and get into the U.S. That scares me more than an EMP attack from a ship.
All right. Well, would these terrorists simply come in with explosives? Would they come in with some sort of nuclear explosives? A nuclear explosion anywhere in America would just totally disrupt the very structure of our society. Certainly one on Wall Street. You could certainly get a small nuclear weapon in Wall Street and simply wipe out the financial stability of this country. People don't believe this sort of thing could happen. What are your thoughts?
Well, indeed, something like this could happen. Let me tell you a story. Once I was in New York and watching the, I think it was Fox or one of the local stations, and some woman had undergone some kind of radiation treatment. You know, they put isotopes in her and for the, some kind of a cancer that she had. And she was driving home from New York City to Connecticut. And all of a sudden, all these police and military vehicles stopped her, you know, like because they've got sensors. In the New York City area, they have sensors. Anything radioactive is going to set off the sensor. So it's true, you know, that terrorists could theoretically smuggle in backpacks into the U.S. But I know that the U.S. Government has all this monitoring, all the surveillance going on, and they have specifically radiation sensors. So, you know, again, there's so much going on that neither you nor I know.
I'm sure there are. Well, basically, of course, the economy in Israel is doing fairly well. We have our friends over there who keep us appraised. I know that they're passing gas masks out to all of the Israeli citizens. They're really, they seem to be very, very conscious of the fact that there could very well be a chemical or biological attack on Israel almost at any time. What do you hear from the what's going on over there from your wife, from others? Is there a state of certainly very uncertainty in Israel? Are people just going ahead and just saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it?
Well, basically, people have to live their lives. And Israel has restaurants, and Israel has hotels, and Israel has theme parks and golf courses. And, you know, people want to live. And every year, praise God, every year our tourism reaches new records. We're over 3.2 million tourists this year. And, you know, so the tourism is increasing from year to year, and that's in spite of the fact that we've been living under the constant threat of war since the inception of the State of Israel in 1948. So life goes on. And, you know, I have to tell you something. I have to take my hat off to the Christians, because the Christian pilgrims who come to Israel, of all the different churches, of all the different nationalities, they don't care about gas masks. They don't care about the threat of war. Their faith in God, the faith in Jesus, you know, says come to Israel. And they come to Israel. You know, my son, let me tell you, if I may, I don't want to turn this into a commercial, but my son, Aaron, is CEO of Lipkin Tours. And now we're bringing Christian tours to Israel. Let me tell you some of the Christians we're bringing. We're bringing, of course, American evangelical Christians and Messianic groups, the groups that I have been working with, as you know, for the last 22 years. But we've also developed...
Hold that thought. Our number 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you have a question for Avi, go ahead.
What good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home, and I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or case of water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline, high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Our friends at Brush Housing Authority remind us that aging persons are especially susceptible during the winter months. Let's keep a special eye out for them during these cold days and nights, making sure their furnaces work correctly and that they have enough groceries and water. An occasional helping hand with snow shoveling can also keep an elderly person from a heart attack or breathing problems. That's from Brush Housing Authority. Reminding listeners, for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a safe, happy, healthy winter season.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here with Avi Lifkin. If you have a question, 877-254-7524. But as we started out today on the program, I'm just talking about how that whole part of the world, the Near East, the Middle East, are a seething cauldron, and anything could happen. Now, one of the countries over there we don't talk about very much is Pakistan. But Pakistan has probably 100, 150 nuclear weapons. Certainly India has nuclear weapons. But I'm very concerned about Pakistan because it seems to be potentially unstable. And the question is, could those weapons either fall into the hands of Iran? Would Pakistan give a transfer of nuclear weapons to Iran surreptitiously? What about the possibility, certainly, of some instability in Iran and the terrorists getting their hands on those nuclear weapons? What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, firstly, and I know, Dr. Stan, we have spoken about this on your show in the past. In my third book, I've written six books, praise God. My third book, Islamic Threat Updates Almanac Number 1, there's an article. I'm changing the subject, but I'm coming right back. That there is a Pakistani nuclear-tipped missile base in Saudi Arabia, built by the communist Chinese at the Al Salil Oasis. This is one of the biggest embarrassments to the U.S. government over the last 30 years because neither Republican nor Democratic administrations have done anything about it. The communist Chinese have provided 120 Dongfeng missiles, and the Pakistanis provided the nuclear warheads. Now, Pakistan is Sunni. Saudi Arabia is Sunni. Saudi Arabia is the financier of the Pakistani nuclear project. Saudi Arabia does not want Iran to have Pakistani nukes. So I'm fairly confident that the Iranians do not have access to the Pakistani nukes. I would be much more scared of an Al-Qaeda takeover of Pakistan because the Al-Qaeda are also Sunnis. So I would say, excuse me, I would say, I don't think that the Iranians are going to get nuclear weapons from Pakistan. And like you said very correctly before the break, Iran is perfectly capable on its own of getting nuclear dirty bombs, if not, you know, atomic weapons that can explode, fissile material. They can definitely, even with 20% enriched uranium, they can make dirty bombs, which can also wreak havoc in any city in the world. So I think it's at this stage, we're not looking at any kind, as far as I know, any kind of real cooperation between Pakistan and Iran on this nuclear question.
Have you ever heard what I was told 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, by a high-ranking researcher there with the Republican Party, that Iran had actually purchased a couple of small atom bombs on the open market back in the early 1990s?
It's in my book. My first book is Fanatic Islam, a Global Threat, which came out in 1997. I was quoting the German intelligence Focus magazine, which said that in 1990, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, with the breakup of the Soviet Union, all these countries that broke away, the Muslim stance, excuse me for using your name,
well, you know, I really believe it's valid. I was told this certainly by somebody I trusted,
And yet I just recently talked to a gentleman who spent 30 years in the Defense Department, a high-ranking Defense Department official, who I said, no, there's just no truth to that at all. And certainly I think it's amazing how uninformed many people highly placed in our government really are about what's really going on in the world. Maybe they should all read your books.
Well, obviously. By the way, I have to tell you a little story that I was once in Koinonia House, and I was many times in Koinonia House, but once I was there, and this lady shows up, and I knew her from somewhere, and I had met her also in Norfolk, Virginia at a Messianic conference, and she came to, flew all the way to Coeur d'Alene to one of my lectures, and she told me, I am a CIA trainer, and I train, you know, new people coming into the CIA, and I use your books and CDs and DVDs. But when the politically correct appointees, directors come to my office, I have to hide your stuff because you're on the blacklist. But, you know, they're using my teachings, you know, for CIA agents, for training them. But getting back to the three Middle Eastern, the three atomic bombs smuggled in from the former Soviet Union, you've got to remember, Dr. Stan, that if you are a general in the Russian army in the nuclear naval fleet, if you're a captain of a submarine, or if you're making $60 a month, which is what these generals make in the Russian army, you know, and you've got these bombs lying around that nobody's going to use, why not sell them to terrorists for $40,000, $100,000, and feed your family? You know, it's horrible. The conditions of the Russian military, absolutely horrible. The Russians don't take care of their military forces. You know, so these generals and these captains of submarines, I mean, in Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, they have all these warehouses full of the bombs. You know, it's not a big deal to bribe someone to open up the gate and take out a bomb.
Well, I think we live in a very, very uncertain world. I think that the average American sort of lives in a make-believe world, imagining nothing bad is ever going to happen. And I think if God is just, he's going to bring a judgment on this country for what we have done and some of the terrible things that are taking place today. People don't really see anything wrong with going over there and killing Pakistani civilians with our drones. Oh, that's just one of those things we do. It's all right to kidnap people and torture them to death. No outcry from our religious leaders. I really believe, of course, the very soul of my nation has been damaged, and I just wonder what we're going to do, how we're ever going to get the American people really concerned and facing the fact of the tremendous uncertainty that exists in the world today. We're almost out of time. Avi, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, you know, my message always has been, and especially these days, I'm speaking a lot to Tea Party meetings, and I'm saying that Obama, we didn't talk about this on your show, I think we need another show for this. Obama has a plan to bring 50 million Muslims into the United States of America, and basically, I won't say ban Christianity, but his promise to Saudi Arabia, if you go to YouTube, Saudi Plant, the pastor who did it shares information my wife and I got, that Obama swore when he was in Egypt that he was a Muslim, that he's going to destroy Israel. But his plan is also to destroy Christian America, or rather, make America the greatest Muslim country on earth. And that's
we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us, Avi. We'll get you back again real soon. Bye-bye.
I hope so.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners of my ministry. Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or to get a case of our books, and you can get a case of my books, there's 64 of them for $149.95, but you can give the book away. You can certainly lend it out. You can sell it for all I care. I just want you to get the book into the hands of people. And if you certainly get a case of the books, it'll help us to get it reprinted. We're almost a third of the way now towards our goal. And we won't sort of bill anybody until we actually start reprinting the book. But if you'd like to get a case of our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which can change people's lives and point them towards the Lord, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to listen to our programs, of course, RadioLiberty.com. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, probably more than any other talk show host in the United States at the present time. That we have a weekend program. It's all expensive. We can use your help. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, and we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. One of the things that we try to get people to understand is the very real threat of an EMP attack on America. Electromagnetic pulse attack would devastate this country, and certainly we have from reliable sources the fact that there are several countries that are actually making plans as to how this will be carried out. Certainly Pakistan is not happy with us. After all, we fly our drones in, we kill their people, we kill some of their military leaders. We actually have our intelligence agencies working throughout that area, both Pakistan and Iran, killing people today. We're at war with Iran, but they haven't told the American people. We put out $400 million to hire a group of terrorists there to disrupt the country. We've destroyed half the value of their currency in the last year by our economic sanctions. And believe me, nobody's going to tell you we're at war with Iran, but we are at war with Iran, and we're at war with other countries over there in the Muslim world. And we're financing this whole Arab Spring. This is not happening by accident, but by intent. Well, basically, we have four items on the danger of an EMP attack. And I will tell you that I was told by Mr. Maloof, who spent 30 years in the Defense Department, ended up as a senior advisor, that Iran has actually practiced setting off high-altitude nuclear explosions using the satellite, the various intermediate-range missiles that they have. Basically, there is a very real danger of an EMP attack. We carry Mr. Maloof's book. It's important to read it to understand what he has to say, because he was 30 years in the Defense Department. It's called A Nation Forsaken, the story of an EMP attack on America. We have a four-tape set on an EMP attack. We have actually a talk, a DVD, by Ambassador Henry Cooper on the danger of an EMP attack. And or it's called The Threat of an EMP Attack. But if you get that, we'll give you free of charge a report put out by the Heritage Foundation, written by two PhDs on the very real threat. And then, of course, we actually have printed up copies of the 2004 Congressional Commission report on the threat of an EMP attack, and you can get it off the internet, but we have it all set, all these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to be informed. Again, make preparation. You need to help us spread the information. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility.